One of my favourite moments this Christmas was actually seeing Mark, a friend of ours, who with his family is here today, chatting to someone after the nine lessons and carols, because he decided he needed to sing in the choir for that. And he chatted to someone else, and I had a moment of cognitive dissonance, because the person he chatted to has been living in Denham for a long time, and Mark and his family live in Singapore. And then it dawned on me that, of course, he and that particular other person are together in the same Bible book club on Zoom. And so they formed a friendship over these last months by reading the Bible together. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing that has come out of a very difficult time. That distance doesn't really matter when we come together and when we form a friendship and read the Bible together. Well, Mark and Patty's son, Matty, is going to come, and he's going to read to us from Matthew 2. Matty, do you want to come to the front?
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star rose as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
Thank you very much, Matty, for reading this to us. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're taking right into this account of the first Christmas. We pray that you would open our minds and our hearts so we can learn what you are saying to us today. Amen. Well, I wonder, how was your Christmas? Did you have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Some nods? Mostly nods. The other people are too polite to tell me what wasn't so good about their Christmas. Did you listen to any Christmas music? Or were you so fed up with a constant drip, drip feed of Christmas music all around you by the time you got to Christmas? Yeah? Have you got your favourite Christmas playlist? Maybe you're a bit old-fashioned, you've got your favourite vinyl that you always dig out for Christmas, and you listen to it. Looks like Janet has her favourite vinyl there. Well, a few days ago I read an article, and the article's title was this: "All I Want for Christmas is a Song That Mentions Jesus." And maybe you resonate with that. Do you want to hazard a guess which song, internationally, globally, is the most played song at Christmas? Any guesses? Joe is right there. What do you think, Joe? She's right. The clue was in the title of the article. All I Want for Christmas is an article that mentions Jesus. Mariah Carey's song, All I Want for Christmas Is You, is the most played Christmas song around the world. Any guesses for number two? White Christmas is a good guess. It's probably up there in the top five. It's not number two. Here's Matty. Whoa, he knows his 80s music. How did that happen? Are you forced to listen to your dad's playlist, Matty? Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. Number two, wham. That's number two. And every year, they rake in the money. It's great, isn't it? You write one excellent Christmas song, and you can retire on it. Because every year, these songs come back. Now, it was quite interesting. Talking about Mariah Carey, to give her due credit, she was interviewed by the BBC a couple of weeks ago. And in it, she said, well, I'm called the Queen of Christmas, because you know why. But actually, I believe the Queen of Christmas is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Good for her. Now, in this article, there was a fascinating map, and it showed the world, and it pinpointed some countries, and it then said which song in the particular pop charts of that country was the highest ranking song that mentions Jesus. There were some things which you would sort of expect. In the UK, highest ranking song that mentions Jesus, number 10, is Cliff Richard with No, Not Mistletoe and Wine. I don't think that mentions Jesus. Not the Lord's Prayer, the Millennial Prayer. That would have been good, wouldn't it? 2000 or 1999, controversial, that song. But, you know, in 1990, he went to number one with a Christmas song, which I'm surprised it's apparently still at number 10 in the overall rankings. It's called Saviour's Day. Anyone remember that? On the Saviour's Day. Quite good words, actually. Still in the top 10, just about. So that's that one. Let's go to Russia. You know, it's good to hear that in pop music, the communication between the USA and Russia still works. Because the highest ranking song that mentions Jesus in Russia is number 13 with Diana Ross, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. There you go. And then there were some real surprises. In Egypt, at number 6, is a version of What Child Is This? That's a surprise, isn't it? And then the thing that really blew me away was Jordan, like Egypt, a majority Muslim country, on number one this year was a song by a singer I don't know called Abdo Monzer, or Monzer, I don't know, with a song called Radiant Night, number one in Jordan. And I hope you remember all this for your next pub quiz. Got it all? So around the world, the message of Christmas still resonates in 2021, 2022, even in pop music. And we don't need to have grown up in Christendom to meet Christ. That is the clear message of the story of the Magi. The wise men from the East is the point where the Christmas story goes global. So far, in the story we know from Luke 2, obviously Mary and Joseph are celebrating the birth of their baby boy. We've had angels singing. We have angels revealing who Jesus is to shepherds just outside Bethlehem. But that's about the radius so far of the good news of Christmas. With the arrival of the Magi, that changes. They come from far away, from a country in the east. And of course, on their journey to Bethlehem, they stop at the palace. So even Herod, the king, gets an inkling that something momentous has happened right under his nose. God is able to reveal Jesus as the true king to anyone. It is fascinating for me to read again and again how people in the Muslim world sometimes have visions or dreams of Jesus. And as they follow that and explore it, some of them discover Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in a sense, that happened to the wise men. They looked in the skies. They concluded that this signified the birth of a really, really important king. And they explored what it meant. They went on a long journey. Years later, the Apostle Paul put it like this. We heard it in our first reading. Through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Gentiles are non-Jews. Members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. That's why we have this reading today, put alongside the story of the wise men. I love how they are depicted, the wise men, and Chris, if you could show us for our online congregation, how they are depicted in our church window. If you're in church, in the church building, you have the card in front of you. It seems as if the two wise men at the back are still arguing about the significance of this event. The one in green seems to be saying, really? This baby? An important king? I think we got this wrong, mate. This can't be right. And the one in red tries to argue with him and say, look at the star. It has stopped over this house. And by the way, don't forget, on our journey here, the wise men of King Herod told us from their sacred scriptures that he was going to be born in this tiny town of Bethlehem. The third one has already made up his mind. He is kneeling in front of Jesus and bringing his gift. And I find it really poignant. Look again. The kings in the background are still wearing their crowns. The one kneeling down has taken off his crown and is worshipping the true King of Kings. Christ the Lord himself in human form. I don't know where you are in your faith journey at the beginning of this year, but if you're wondering what the true significance of Christmas and of Jesus is, I want to invite you to join us for Alpha this year. Alpha is a great way to explore the Christian faith. And we're starting again with Alpha in February, and it's wonderful to just come together to make friends, to explore big themes of life and faith together. Why not go on that journey? You can sign up just on our website, denimparish.church/alpha, and find out more about that. You don't need to have grown up in the Christian faith to meet Christ. We caught up with friends a few days ago, had a nice walk with them, and he told me about a friend of his. And they started a new Christian community, a new church, in a part of the town where there was no thriving church community. And they began to make friends, build fellowships, and slowly but steadily, some people explored the Christian faith and wanted to become Christians. And one of them, a young man, he wanted to get baptized. So the pastor said, that's wonderful. Do you want to pick a Bible verse for your baptism as a motto? And that young man thought long and hard, and then he said, yes, I've got my verse. What is it? Said the pastor. May the force be with you. His Bible knowledge wasn't great, but he got the message right. Only by the force, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can Jesus be revealed to us as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The rescuer, the Messiah, the one sent from God to put the world to rights. I don't know what happened then. I forget, or maybe he never told me, whether the pastor was quite happy for him to have this at his baptism verse. I guess if that happened to me, I was thinking, what would I have said in response? I would have said, that's a really good motto, and shall we put a verse from the Bible alongside it? The one that came to mind was Romans 15, verse 13. Put right next to the benediction from Star Wars, a benediction from the Bible. And this one, Romans 15, verse 13, says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power, the force, the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is a good motto for us, if you need a motto for 2022. May you know God's peace and joy. May you have hope, whatever your situation is, in this new year. May you know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I've already shared with you what one of my highlights of this Christmas season was. I wonder what was one of your or two of your highlights. If you're on the chat, you may want to tell the rest of the world on YouTube what some of your highlights were in the chat. Maybe after this service, I'm sorry we're still not serving coffee again. You want to talk to each other. What were your highlights this Christmas? It's interesting, when Ed and I reflected on this a couple of days ago, that we both said some of our highlights, amongst others, were things that actually wouldn't have happened without COVID. And I don't want to downplay for a second the challenge and the terrible sadness and a terrible cost of COVID, but some good things have come of it. So some of our highlights were singing carols with neighbours from the streets around us, in front of our house, out in the open, just gathering together, getting to know some new neighbours through that. Deciding that the crib service was probably a risk too far in this church and turning it into al fresco carols out there for everyone to be able to listen to, hear, to join in. Singing carols with neighbours up in Higher Denham on the car park of the community hall there. One lesson of the last 2 years that the church must not forget is simply this. The church has left the building. The church has had to leave the building. We had to find a new way of being church, of going online, of making sure we call people, of reading the Bible together on Zoom, of creating prayer walks around the church here, of creating a treasure hunt through Denham Village, of helping and supporting neighbours in need, and so many other things. Because we couldn't hide in the church. The church was locked. The wise men did not meet Jesus in a palace or in a place of worship. They met Jesus in an ordinary house. And then they took that encounter back to their regular lives, where they lived, where they worked, where they had influence. We will never know how they used that influence. One day we can tell their story, how it carried on when they returned home. The wise men went on a long and arduous journey to meet Jesus, the King of Kings. But the longest journey at Christmas was, of course, made by Jesus himself, who the Bible says left the splendor of heaven to go on a journey to find you and me. Becoming more like Christ means that we leave our comfortable cocoon for the sake of those who do not know Jesus. We leave our comfortable cocoon for the sake of those who do not know Jesus. And the cost can be high. It really can be. Again, on the BBC, let no one say that the BBC never reports good news stories. Sometimes they do. I read the story of a pastor up somewhere in the north, and I've forgotten his name now. He was a drug addict and drug dealer, and then he met Christ, and Christ turned his life around. He has now opened a church in a former gym that went bust during COVID, and he opens his doors to people who are in desperate need, people who have substance addiction, people who are wanting to end their lives and other real issues. He opens that place to them. Because he wants them to know the love of Christ in their life. And you know, on Christmas Day, he wanted to just lock up his church when he had a call from someone who was in desperate need. And he says, come down here. We'll have a cup of tea together. We'll talk together. And that's what he did. He unlocked the church again. Leaving our comfortable cocoon comes with a cost. But it's nothing compared to the cost that Jesus took upon himself by leaving the splendor of heaven. By being born in a manger, by meeting us where we are. The church has left the building. Last summer, Ed and I went to Cornwall, and we went to a fascinating place called Gwenep Pit. Has anyone ever been to Gwenep Pit? You know, you have. One. It's fascinating, isn't it? And it's like a little gem which is not very well known. You all know Cornwall was mining country, and so most people think there's a natural amphitheatre there. It's with grass and steps in the round. Some people think it was actually created by mining activity, maybe some subsidence. There's this incredible natural amphitheatre, and it was a place of worship out there in the open. And one of its claims to fame is that John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, came there regularly and preached there to big crowds. That amphitheatre can take, well, hundreds of people. I decided to walk around it all the way up and then all the way down again. Apparently it's 1 mile. If you take every step round and a step up round, and it was really funny, on that occasion there was a young family they realized we were from Germany. He had a little boy or two boys, Ed, I can't remember, and a dog. And he realized what I was doing, so he did the same thing. Or maybe he started and I started after him and I caught up. And he got really competitive. And he had to grab his dog because his dog was slowing him down so that he's first in ending the journey round Gwynedd Pitt. And he said, I will not be beaten by a German. But the story behind it, of course, is that John Wesley had to leave the church. He was an Anglican, a Church of England minister, but his message of renewal of faith was not welcome in many churches at his time. So he decided to leave the church, to preach the good news where people were, out in the open very often. And the legacy of his and his brother Charles's work and others in their group was a renewal of faith in that time, in England and beyond. The church had left the building. And there is one crucial way, and I'll finish with that. There's one crucial way in which the church has always left the building. We come together, and it's such a joy to come together, to feed the fire within. That's, by the way, a quote of one of the better commercials, Quaker Oats. Feed the fire within. It's a brilliant line. I'm going to do a whole sermon on that another time. Feed the fire within. That's what we need to do. That's what we come together for, to feed the fire within, to be together as a community. We are the family, to praise God together, to be fed in word and sacrament, and then to be sent out. Every Sunday, the church has left the building when we finish. And the church, having fed the fire within, is taking those hot embers into our daily lives, where we are. And we pray that God would open doors and opportunities. And we trust that if we are faithful and share God's love in words and action, fruit will come. Fruit will come. That's how the kingdom grows. Not by us simply hiding in the church. This, what we do today, is a springboard for everything else in our lives. It is important, but then the important thing that follows is that the church has left the building again and goes wherever God has placed us. The church has left the building. The church needs to leave the building. May the church, may our church leave the building more and more in 2022. And may the force, may God's Holy Spirit be with us. I'm going to pray a verse and then we're going to listen to this hymn sung by Keith and Christine Getty. Peter's getting ready there at the back for them to sing this beautiful hymn to us. Here is one of the verses. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Saviour and King, we worship thee. Emmanuel within us dwelling, make us what thou wouldst have us be. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Saviour and King, we worship thee. Amen.